Enduring Endurance by Steve Caresser. Copyright by E-Printed Books, 2011. This is a little bit of then, when I was but a boy. Reader, it is a moonlit night, and as usual, I have run away from home. I am sleeping on the bank of the Tuolumne River in Riverdale Park, downstream a piece, and across from my island. Blowing exhaust on my face from a car broke the silence of the night and woke me from a deep sleep. The car backed up right beside me, almost over my arm, when its tail end stopped on the river's edge. Familiar voices were echoing from inside the car. His body will be fish bait before morning. Oh yeah, the cement blocks will sink him to the bottom. I groggily crawled beside the car to the river bank, and like a snake, I slid into the water, and I hid my head inside a large patch of water lilies. I was fully awake now, and scared as I peeked up at the backs of two men opening their tailgate of their old station wagon and leaning their shotguns up against their car that had no license plate. And my fear intensified when I seen them grab a carpet rolled up around a live, frightened boy, perhaps 10 years old. As they pulled the roll of carpet closer to me, and just before it landed on top of me, I could see his eyes were wide open and full of fear, and his mouth was gagged with a torn sheet. There was not much time to think, much less do something to keep this boy from drowning. I needed to prevent him from drowning, and at the same time cause a diversion to prevent them from tossing cement blocks on top of him and sinking him to the bottom. Was it a coincidence, or did an angel send a log the right size down the river at the right time for me to put it under his head and push him quickly downstream in the current so I could cause a diversion? I stood up with water lilies hanging all over my body, and I made a sound that man nor beast combined could ever make. The one man knocked his shotgun into the water, and the other slammed the tailgate shut on the other's hand. Instead of opening the tailgate off his partner's hand, he grabbed the other shotgun, and I hollered once again like something from out of their nightmares, and he blindly pulled the trigger and knocked a limb off the tree above my head. I howled like a ghost in chains, a sound I had no idea I could ever make, and he ran and jumped into the car, and he began driving away while his partner was calling him every name in the book as he was being dragged along by his hand. I heard the car stop. "You dummy! Look at my knees! I'm sorry, man, there's ghosts down there!" The tailgate opened and slammed, and then both car doors opened and slammed, and then the car sped away. My chances of finding the young boy on this moonlit night would have been slim to none. I waded to the middle of the river and began wading downstream, roving my eyes up and down both banks. The light of the moon allowed me to see across the river, and logged against a giant cottonwood tree that had fallen into the river, I could see the roll of carpet that held the frightened young boy, and his head was still elevated by the log I had placed under it. My heart began pounding once again as I hollered at the top of my voice, "Don't worry, I'm coming!" I began wading toward the young boy, and two headlights began shining on the bank ahead of me. I quickly dove underwater and swam to the giant cottonwood tree, and my head emerged from the water inside a patch of water lilies next to the carpet. I carefully held the young boy's head up and pulled him under the giant cottonwood tree and quickly held him there for his head above the water. I don't see him anywhere. Let's get out of here. There are no ghosts on this river, dummy. I'm telling you, there are ghosts here. We are going to wade around the river. That boy can identify us. We must make sure he's dead. If you're going wading, I'll stay right here. I've got a shotgun fully loaded, and no ghost gonna scare me off, you coward. Well, look, dummy. I'm jumping in the car and leaving you here. Bye-bye, dummy. His partner ran to the car and jumped in and started it and began driving away. So the brave one ran for the car and jumped in also, and they sped off for good. As I stood still holding my head and the young boy's head just above water under the hidden cover of the cottonwood tree, a large 14-foot snake I had seen many times before crawling about this old cottonwood tree began crawling toward me. His head stopped moving as he stared into my eyes. I begged him to please let us go, and he slithered over my shoulder, a slither that seemed unending. The two dummies were gone, so the coast was clear, so I pulled the roll of carpet back across the river to my favorite sandy beach, where I had dumped my first dog Tippy out of a burlap sack, and slowly unrolled the carpet. The pitiful boy laid face up, dressed in all black, his mouth gagged and his hands tied, resting on his stomach, and tears were coming from his frightful eyes. As I untied him, I said, "Don't be afraid. The bad men are gone, and I saved you from them." As I began building a fire, I said, "I'll build a fire and dry you out." The fire was blazing hot now, and through the flames I could see the young boy hold his hands over the fire and then rub them together. "Why did those bad men do that to you? What is your name?" "I've lived along the river, and one day they pulled a burlap sack over my head and carried me to their home." "Well, don't worry, I'll protect you from them." The boy said, "My mom and dad never named me. They just called me, 'Hey, you!'" I said, "You say you live along the river? Why have I not seen you before?" The boy smiled for the first time and said, "I see you swimming and fishing and lying in the hot sand almost every day. Remember when you pulled a burlap sack from the river and dumped a live puppy out on the sand right here where our fire is burning?" "I've only been seen a few times by anyone." "But do you have any brothers or sisters?" "No, it's just me now." "How old are you?" "I'm older than you." "That's impossible. You can't be more than 10 years old. And I'm 12. You can't be 13 or 14. And I'm older than that." "Well, how old are you?" "You know, it's amazing how old trees live. You see that old cottonwood tree we were hiding under? It's been there over 300 years. While I was standing next to Hey You and looking at the old cottonwood tree, a brisk breeze whistled by, and I turned toward Hey You to ask him, 'Who are you?' And he was gone. I never seen him again, but there was twice in my life I seen Hey You freshly written in the sand where our fire had burned that night. Perhaps, hey, you will read this book and remember that night, and if he, like me, has moved away from the river, maybe we will meet again. Thanks for listening. You have a good day.